you need to really understand your avatar's pain points, and understanding their pain points and what keeps them up at night, as well as their pleasure points. That kind of language is really essential for creating a cracking lander and squeeze page that is going to convert for you.
You're listening to the Brave Business Podcast, brought to you by Anna Jelic and Florencia Pike, where business strategy meets mindset mastery. Get ready to step outside your comfort zone and get empowered in your life and business.
Welcome to episode 40 of the Brave Business Podcast. It's Anna and Flory, and we're back together. It has been a little while since the two of us were together, right? Because we have been doing some amazeball interviews, even if I do say so myself, with some fabulous people. Actually, have to ask, any faves, Flory? Anyone out there that you've been like, oh my God, mind blown?
I have to say, I've enjoyed speaking with everyone, but I feel like for our listeners, there were a lot of value bombs around the interview I did with Helen and Jackie from Two Girls in a Laptop, which were specifically around email marketing. Like, it was a very specific kind of niche episode, which just uncovered so many gold mines. So that would probably be one of my faves. What about you?
Oh, I just totally enjoyed hanging out with Kate Toon the other day. Just having a really good chat about like success and life and the highs and lows and the rides that was, or that are, and you know, where to from here. It was just really nice to have a candid conversation with someone kind of like, because you know, she's got a program, like we have a program, and I guess having kind of like a, you know, it was kind of more personal for me as it was probably giving back to everybody else. But personally, I quite enjoyed that. So yeah, that was fun. But yeah, it's been awesome getting to chat to all these awesome people. But I have to say, I have missed you and I coming together. And so it's pretty cool to get together for this episode. And it's a bit of a juicy one that we've got planned, because we're going to take our listeners today, you lovely ladies, through one of our sales funnels from start to finish with our most recent goal setting challenge. And I'd say for anyone out there who's been thinking about running a challenge of this nature, we know a few of our students have kind of dabbled in it or thinking about it. Or if you want a real deep dive into the ins and outs of really of a sales funnel anyway, with all the moving parts you'll see within an activation like this, I think that this episode is really going to blow your mind, because we're going to really deep dive into so many different areas.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover. It's very value packed. Now, in True Biz, Brave Business podcast form, though, I feel like we haven't talked about this in ages, but our signature hashtag winning and hashtag losing moments. So I'll share mine first. So basically, this is a huge win. As I was saying to you, Anna, before we got on the call, I've recently gotten a nanny, and oh my God, it's so lovely. Honestly, I just felt like I was just finding pockets of time, but really finding pockets of time left, right, center. Whereas now it's like I have this dedicated time to work on the business. And granted, it's not a lot of hours because school hours, but it's just so great. It's really enabled me to kind of find my stride with baby Julian. So that's been great. And the balance of work, the juggle, I should say. So that's been great. And then also, I guess more of on a mutual front from a winning standpoint, we have some pretty exciting stuff in the works, don't we?
Oh, we do. It's kind of hashtag winning and losing, though, like going through the process of the realizations and the decisions that need to be made is kind of losing, because they're so laborious and they're big. But no, the flip side of that is exciting. So, well, I mean, you know what it's like. We talk about mindset, the good and the bad. You kind of have to go through the lessons and the learnings, but the outcomes and the next steps are going to be very exciting. So yes, definitely on that front. I'm very excited that you've got a nanny now, and having you on set hours as opposed to like flying by the seat of your pants, lady. You've done a good job juggling school holidays and a new baby over the last little while. I can't even believe we've got school holidays to contend with, but fortunately my husband has actually taken off that whole period, so I'm like, winning.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
That is one of my winnings. But I think that on my winning note, that's when we'll probably be moving house, so it'll probably be a week of like he can just help us move into our new place. So yes, my winning is very much looking forward to moving into somewhere new in the herd. Mm. And leveling up a little bit, rather than the house that has, I mean, I'm very fond of this house because it gave us our first foothold really back in Sydney after moving back from WA. But there are a few things falling apart in and around it. So
as I've said many times, I like your house. I think it's great, but I appreciate, I get it. I totally get it.
The guy actually is literally pulling everything down. He's literally redoing kitchens and the bathrooms and everything else.
When you guys move out.
Yeah, he realizes it's time. So, yeah, but obviously we weren't going to sit through that. But that's winning and losing, oh, my God, school hours. And not just school hours, but for me personally, I've got to say that with jealousy, I have to say as well, because, oh, my God, Facebook is horrible for this. But my start to school has not been fun and frivolous and all these beautiful pictures of, like, kids happy, smiling with their families, you know, skipping down the street to school. Mine was more of a screaming child hanging off my leg that I had to throw into a classroom. So I must admit that this last month has not been an easy transition emotionally for anyone in our family. But we are coming at the other side. So we're moving into the winning territory slowly, slowly.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I will agree with you on the school hours front. The days, I feel like I'm in like power mode from 9:30 to 2:30. If that, actually, more like 2:15. So yeah, I definitely hear you on the school hour loss front. And also, I think it's important to acknowledge on a mutual front with the losing, bit of a challenging start to 2019. I think, you know, we have been presented in the business with a lot of key lessons that to some degree, I think we definitely saw coming. We probably didn't have as many plan Bs in the back pocket as we would have liked, but we did manage to surmount the challenges and did have a great start to the year, even though there were a lot of bumps in the road.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we talk about it all the time, with every challenge, you can either let it defeat you or find the lesson in it and act from that lesson. And I think that's one of the things, which is why Anna was talking about, you know, this mutual hashtag winning, exciting changes are afoot. And these are changes that are really fueled by the fact that we've had a lot of bumps in the road in starting 2019. So watch this space, because we're going to be turning the hashtag losing into hashtag winning in no time.
That is true. And can I just say on a mindset front that normally, because this is what's happened to us, is you get presented with the same lessons again and again. Mm. So whether it's in business or in life, you'll see the same themes coming up. And sometimes, you know, you're not quite ready to address them. But when you see them, you know, for the third time, then it's a bit like, hello, got to take some action. So look out for your lessons, because the bottom line really is they probably won't go away. They will keep coming back until you do something about them. So, which we will be doing. And yes, hashtag watch this space.
Yes, totally. Okay. Now, all this aside, we have a lot of content to get you through today. So let's kick off with the goal setting challenge and talk you through exactly what we did so that you can take some key lessons from it in executing your challenge. Now, if you did miss our goal setting challenge, bit of a shame, because it was truly, truly epic. It was a massive activation that we ran in January to really kick the year off. And we had over 1,500 businesswomen join us. And yeah, despite the bumps in the road, it really, truly was an electric, inspirational, and incredible journey that we got to share with over 1,500 women in that challenge. So what we'd like to do is basically take you through that challenge now and how we develop a challenge. So regardless of just a goal setting challenge, this is just any challenge and the steps and the phases that we go through. So there's basically three phases that we consider when we develop an activation or a funnel like this. And that's what we're going to take you through today. Now, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yes, there is.
And it is a massive, massive undertaking. You know, to give you some context, when Anna and I set out to map out a challenge, we do it weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. I feel like now we've gotten quite good at it. So it might be, you know,
about a month. We're talking now about something new, and it's about a month or so away.
But in saying that, I was going to say, you know, when we first did our very first challenge, it was probably like two months.
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Because we didn't really know what we were doing. And when you don't know what you're doing, it takes time, right? So even though now we know what we're doing, you know, we spend a good month, and it's literally heads down, bum up for that month preparing for the challenge, let alone the execution of the challenge. So let's talk about the phases now. And those three phases, I'll let you kick off with the first one, but they're divided into the following, just to give you some context. So the first one is really what needs to happen in the lead up to the challenge. The second is what needs to happen during the challenge. And the third is what needs to happen post-challenge.
Yeah. So let's start with the lead up, because this is obviously crucial. And I guess the first point, and, you know, the most important point, is really thinking about the purpose of the challenge, what it is that you want to create, the content you want to create, the message or experience you want to deliver. Because ultimately, you really need something incredibly compelling to deliver through your challenge, which is going to educate and inspire and give your audience value. They must feel like this is a really value-laden experience. But simultaneously, you really want to be delivering them a very real taste of what it is that you do and what it is that you want to sell. And I think it's really important to hone in on that, because a lot of people, and we've seen people dabble in challenges, they're not very good at really putting their brand and their offer, you know, right in the middle of what they're doing. It kind of becomes an afterthought, as opposed to right off the bat being very clear that this is here and this is what you do and this is a taste of it and you're going to get to come on a journey with me right now. Look, when developing your content, you really need to think about the pain points of your avatar. So we've talked about customer research before. You need to understand how they're feeling and what they want, because you need to create something that they're going to be like when they see it on an ad or on a social post, they're like, oh my God, I need that in my life. Mm. And then it's really thinking about taking them actually on a real journey, okay? So not just putting together random pieces of content, but really thinking about the journey and how they build on each other, and then sowing seeds of what you can do and how you can help them in within that, essentially.
Yeah, it's almost a bit of an art, isn't it? To
definitely be able,
like, we always, I feel like now we have this down pat, but when we first started off with our challenges, it was, well, how much do we give away of what we do and how we can help them? And now, you know, we're very comfortable in the approach that we adopt in saying, you know, we have the solution for you in this program. But it is an art in sowing the seed and when to start letting them know, this is how we can help you through the program ultimately. But it is, it does take time. And the thing is, I think it's really important what you said, Anna, and I do want to recap on this, is that it really is a journey. You need to be very conscious of the steps that you take them through and how they build on each other, so that your prospect who is experiencing this can very consciously see and understand how this works and ultimately be led to your offering as the solution. And that's where in the journey is so important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was going to say one thing as well to mention is that I think that you want to ensure that it's, you're also getting your prospects to actually achieve or like have make little wins constantly, so that they can see results from what you're teaching them. Like, you're not obviously giving them the everything that you do. I mean, it wouldn't be impossible over a few days. I mean, especially in our situation, but ultimately give them enough insight and information that they can make leaps and changes, so that they're kind of having those kind of mini wins as you progress, essentially.
Definitely. It goes back to that whole theory of Pavlov. You know, you get a win and they start to associate that win with you and they start to understand, wow, these people can really help me, right? And so where you can sprinkle some of those wins throughout your challenge, it will be then so much easier for you to sell your offering, because they'll associate your offering with winning, basically, with being able to achieve results and success. So I think that's such a great point to make. And I think as well, it speaks to the fact that they feel confident then in the results that you can deliver, and they can then trust you to deliver more throughout your offering. So totally agree. Okay. Now, with content delivery, look, the format that you use to deliver the actual journey, the content of the challenge, is completely up to you. You know, you might use a variety of different things. We certainly do. So we'll do everything from Facebook lives to actually being in a Facebook community, constantly interacting with our prospects. The videos, in the past, we've pre-recorded them. We might do them live, like I just said. Also, we've done webinars that are live, workbooks, checklists. So you can really mix things up, and this is up to you. But I think one thing to be conscious of here is that you do want to add various layers across different touch points, because some of your audience might react better or, you know, be more familiar with a Facebook Live versus a webinar, or someone may not have the time for a webinar, but may want to just refer to a checklist and then be like, wow, this is really good. Maybe I will tune into the next webinar. So you do need to be conscious of mixing it up a little bit to appeal to the different learners that you have in that community. Few kind of key points here with the content. Obviously, you know, it needs to be very on brand. We talk about the importance of brand guidelines a lot on this podcast. And that's something you definitely want to have if you don't yet in place, you know, invest in your brand guidelines and ensure that your challenge from front to back is very on brand. Proofread things, very obvious, but I mean, it's a no-brainer. And script the journey, script the flow. So if you're going to do videos, make sure that you have scripts behind those videos. Don't just freestyle it, because there's going to be very important messages that you want to deliver throughout those videos. And also, like we just said, you're going to want to sprinkle some allusions to the fact that you can help these people at the end of the challenge with your offering. And you need to be very strategic in when you sprinkle that messaging. So I think scripting is absolutely essential. One final point here is to really deliver calls to action and make it very clear on the next steps that you want people to take at every turn. So at the end of a video, for instance, Anna and I will always say, okay, and this is your next step, like go complete the workbook and let us know in the Facebook group, you know, what challenges are coming up for you so that we can work with you live there. And then from there, we take it, you know, to the next step and so on. So we're very clear in what we expect of them at every turn so that they can get those results.
Yeah, then I think that you need to guide people. And I think this is, you need to almost imagine that people are like a dumb, and I mean that in the nicest way,
but
you
it's
need
true.
To literally step everything out for everybody from start to finish to, you know, here's the email you're going to get at this time to this is when you need to open it. And once you've opened it, you need to watch this, and then you need to click this, and then you need to do that, and so on and so forth, because it's actually incredibly surprising how people can get lost, even if you feel like you've simplified it as much as possible, to the point where we've taken screenshots of things and put them in Facebook groups to be like, this is where you can find your workbook. You know, this is where you can do X, Y, Z with the video. Because do you know what? I think people consume on different formats, and we always check video, and we always check that, you know, iPad and desktop and so on and so forth across different, you know, Mac and PC. But there's still just going to be someone with a really old browser or something going on, and they're just not going to be able to access it. Or, you know, someone's using your messenger bot strategy and they're in the Facebook group and they're seeing what everyone else is seeing on a different strategy. So I think that it's very important to kind of sort of step things out as well. And I think also important with content delivery is how you drip feed it. So yes. Obviously for us, we normally do anything from a 3 to 4 day challenge. So, but we have tried running a 4 day challenge over 8 days where we did something every 2 days, we released something. Other times we've just done it back to back. And I think for us, the Fast and Furious, we kind of, we really enjoy getting through and driving momentum with people. But, you know, some people might not get through the material as quickly. So every 2 days works better for others. So you need to test things like this, and definitely running a challenge, you're going to have to test all sorts of things. And we have, to the frequency that you release material, to the time of day that you're releasing it, whether you're releasing it purely by email or whether you're posting it in the Facebook group as well. And this is just some things to consider when it comes to your output and how you're giving people links to content and whether they're embedded and so on and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. Alongside this content that we're speaking of, I think it's also really important in the lead up to get crystal clear on the specifics of what you are going to sell to them at the end of the journey. And whilst that seems blaringly obvious, there's a lot of considerations here, because if your cart's going to be open, say, for a week, even 5 days, you might want to sprinkle some bonuses over the course of those 5 days or 7 days, and you're going to want to get clear on what those bonuses look like, how you're going to articulate them, what they're called, what they contain. You need to prep all that, any guarantees that you have, testimonials, what have you. Okay, so, and then let alone, you know, actually mapping out and building the corresponding sales offer pages and the sales emails, which we'll come on to in a bit more detail shortly, but lots to consider there, even just when it comes to your offer.
But it makes sense as well, I think, to consider it in the way that we've stepped people through, is to consider it in line with the content, because you're really taking them on the journey to a sell. You're taking them on a journey where you're giving them lots of information and experiences, which ultimately lead them to a point when they can get to make a decision. So it seems natural to build almost that into the content, because it is a piece of content really as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And then from there, obviously, once you've got your kind of whole flow down of what you're going to deliver, how you're going to deliver it, what you're going to offer people and so on and so forth, it really comes down to that all important bit of actually getting that hungry audience, getting all the people to, so that you've got the eyes and ears on what it is you want to take them through. So your next job is definitely to basically create this mass audience. Like we said, we had 1,500 people on our audience. Obviously, everybody's going to have different investments they're going to be able to put in. But that said, it depends on your niche. What was it? One of our students got the most ridiculous cost per lead for one of her challenges in the dog training space.
Oh my god, it was
amazing.
Yeah,
but I mean, so for like what, a few hundred bucks, she kind of got the same number of people to our like thousands and thousands of dollars.
But it just goes to show you that she's not competing in a highly, like, there's not a lot of competitors in her niche, and that she has a great standout.
Totally. Well, that's it. That just goes to show, if you find challenge and challenges work, it doesn't matter whether you're in the course space or the program space for business, you know, this is dog training and it works. So it really just depends on what it is you're, you know, putting in front of people. So a few things to get going when you obviously want to recruit people and getting in front of that audience. First off is the opt-in page, which I think you can talk about.
Yeah. So basically, with the opt-in page, this is essentially the lander. So the page that you're directing your prospects to collect, you know, their name and email address. And I think that it's really important, as Anna said at one point, in terms of mapping this out, you need to really understand your avatar's pain points, and understanding their pain points and what keeps them up at night, as well as their pleasure points. That kind of language is really essential for creating a cracking lander and squeeze page that is going to convert for you. Okay. Once you've got the lander set up, you also need to consider the thank you page, and what messaging you want to put on that thank you page. So whether that is, you know, to go check your spam and promo folders for the confirmation email, or to go, you know, connect with us on Insta, what have you, this is valuable real estate. Think very wisely about the messaging that you put on your thank you page, because it's already creating that innate behavior in your prospects of taking a micro commitment and the next action. And that's how you really want to make it clear, like, this is the next action at every turn. So thank you page. Okay. What is that next action? Right away, you're giving that to them. Okay. You also want to ensure it's all mobile responsive. Such a no brainer, but I can't tell you how many people don't tick this box. It's really, really important. And as Anna said, like, check it across different mobiles. So, and different devices. So not just, you know, your iPhone, but also like the Samsung, and I don't even know what people use when it's not an iPhone.
You're like, if it's not an iPhone, what can you do?
I don't know. Samsung, I think it's called.
I've got to say, do you know what? It takes forever though, like, but it's so important. It's one thing that we do is rigorous testing, right? As soon as everything's ready to go on all fronts, from how you deliver the content and the content platform it's delivered on, to your opt-in, thank you page, and so on and so forth, everything is tested, proofread, tested, and by multiple people, because you obviously want to put your very best foot forward and make sure that the experience is really user-friendly.
Yes, definitely. Well, because exactly, if it's not user-friendly, and if your lander is not optimized on mobile, you're going to lose a lot of conversions. So for instance, to your point, Anna, if that opt-in box that collects their name and email, they have to scroll down the page to put their name and email address in that opt-in box, be it on desktop or mobile, you're going to lose a lot of conversions. That's got to be front and center. So totally agree. Now, one key point I just want to talk to you guys about really quickly before we move on to the next thing with respect to your landers is to think about getting a variety of links for your landers. So if you're driving paid traffic to different platforms, be it Facebook, Google, and then you have like Instagram or organic, think about creating custom hyperlinks, for all those different platforms, so that you can then at the end of the day, when you complete the challenge, be very clear on what people came through what platform, because you can then tag them accordingly in the email marketing platform. I know that sounds complex, but once you kind of start going down the barrel of a challenge, it will make more sense. And I think this goes back to talking about the importance of email marketing, segmentation, and tagging. It'll enable you to then track what's working best across what platform.
Yeah, ultimately your ROI, you're seeing that exactly. If all the leads came through your email list because you sent out the generic one versus one that's on Facebook, you can see how much, you know, what's, like you said, what's working. Yeah. So, yep, everything has double URLs, don't they? Just to make it complicated, but it's not really that complicated.
No, it's not.
It just sounds it from the outside.
That's right. One thing, before we just quickly talk about the next step here, I just want to say, because I get this question a lot, is what's a good conversion rate for a lander? A really good conversion rate is about 50%. Okay, that's like cracking. So if you're hitting that mark, that's awesome.
Awesome. Okay. So obviously once you've got this, you know, super sexy opt-in page, which speaks to your audience and they read the copy on it and they go, wow, sign me up. They hit that button and they're in, then you're on your way. But we have to drive people to that opt-in page, right? Mm-hmm. So your opt-in page is ready to go. How are we going to drive people? And one of the things that we do is, well, one of the things we personally do with paid traffic is Facebook ads. Obviously, you can try Google ads, you can use YouTube ads. There's all sorts of different things that you can do. We have specifically found that Facebook and Insta has been pretty good for our audience, so it's something that we do. I'm going to let you talk about this because it's totally your jam and there's no point in me even trying to like wing it.
Oh, okay. Although I feel like you're getting your head around this stuff. I think you underestimate yourself. It's what I like to tell myself with the whole mindsets thing too.
Anyway. Should we just swap roles for a day?
Yeah, exactly. See how we go.
Yeah, things go, yeah.
No, look, just at minimum, you want to test your ads, okay? So, you know, think about creating at minimum two versions of copy, one, you know, short, one longer, two versions of creative, so that you can basically test what works best before you put a pile of money behind it. You know, put your best foot forward, so do some testing so that you can understand, okay, this is going to be the best performing ad copy and creative. I'm going to let Facebook put its money behind that. That's essentially, I think, the key messaging there that I want you guys to be conscious of when it comes to the ads. And obviously, you know, ad building is a more complex subject and something we certainly teach in a lot of detail and help you through in the program. But just key takeaway here, when you are doing a challenge, make sure to do some A-B split testing.
Yep. So I remember doing, this was back in the day when I was running my coaching business. I remember this was because of the coaching side of things, that people are either drawn to pleasure or drawn to pain.
Yes.
So quite often you try different, I remember using pictures of like this woman like loving life versus a woman really miserable to see which one resonated. And actually, to be fair, I don't remember there being a massive winner, but I found that the miserable lady just kind of like got more comments. Do you know what I mean? It was just maybe more striking or something with the kind of you're not used to seeing it or something.
So it's a really interesting point that you draw on, and you're so right. But actually, there's been a lot of statistical study done around whether pain or pleasure resonates more with the human mind. And apparently pain, because it's frightening, we respond and react to far more than pleasure. It's kind of like the news, you know, yeah. Like it's all bad 99% of the time. It's like a car crash. You can't stop looking at it. And pain is very similar. So it's actually been statistically proven that pain, we respond more to, like it will make us action more than pleasure.
Yeah. Well, same in mindset stuff. Sometimes you have to drive that much pain to make someone take
exactly.
action.
Yeah.
Because the pleasure is like, oh, that's nice. Exactly. But it's like, but if we make you feel really, really bad, okay, I'll go and do it. Oh, actually, this is quite pleasurable. It is that kind of thing. Anyway, so pay traffic. Yeah. Obviously, you need to learn what mediums work for you when you're going to invest, if you have money to invest. But, you know, all is not lost if you don't have money to invest. But we've certainly found that putting a good budget has really helped for us, and that budget has definitely like started very small to begin with, and we tested and we tried things, and over time, and yeah, Florian and I had many conversations with me like going, oh, what, how much do you want to spend? No. But it's always worked out, and in fact it definitely is one of those things where now we're like, should we just throw more money at it, should we just give it a whirl? Because you have to start to, you know, once you've got that testing and experience behind you, I think you do start to kind of like, you know, just trust in the process. Okay, so from paid traffic, the other kind of channels you have are your own channels. So you don't just want to be using paid traffic to recruit for your opt-in and to get your signups, but think about the email list that you might already have. So we always kind of like reach out to our email list and send them a couple of invites across the period, and maybe like send them the first video in some instances to get them excited and G'd up about joining us. And also change the call to actions on our homepage of our website for any traffic coming through, and lots with social media posts on Facebook, Insta, and LinkedIn. So we definitely use and take over the whole of our own platforms to drive it as well for any eyeballs that we've already got and leads we already have. And then on to the earned traffic. You want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, awesome. So exactly, with earned, it's basically leveraging, you know, any existing relationships or partnerships that you have. So, you know, you might think of approaching some of your partners or people in the same space and doing a guest blog post for them, or you know, sending some emails out to feature on different podcasts where your audience is, you know that they listen to that podcast. So one kind of key tip I have for you is that if you are going to approach, create a joint venture partnership, you want to be really clear on the terms that you set with that joint venture relationship. So, you know, create a contract, even send, make sure that everyone's clear on the terms, the commissions, okay, so that everyone is on board, they agree, everyone's game, okay? And also, one thing that's very important is that you want to make it very, very easy for your partners to help you promote your challenge. And yeah. So the easiest thing that you can do for them, I think the best thing, sorry, that you can do for them to make it as easy as possible for them is to create essentially like a little promo pack. So, you know, whenever we go out to our partners and we get them on board, we send them a little contract, they sign, and then we send them a promo pack. And what that promo pack contains is their custom URL. So it's a URL unique to them so that we can tag and understand any leads that they bring across the line. And therefore, if any conversions, if we get a new student, if it's from them or not. Okay. And in this promo pack, in addition to that custom URL, we'll include, you know, social tiles, we'll include a variety of different tiles, email copy, anything to make it as easy as possible for them to share and promote to their audiences, basically.
Definitely. Yeah. We've definitely reached out and made some great relationships over time. And also the beauty then is that, you know, it can become reciprocal where you're kind of working to promote each other's things, which is really nice, especially when they're complementary and you kind of have a really good trust built with, I guess, other providers out there. So yeah, so you've got three different options there: using paid traffic, your own channels and earned channels. So any relationships you can build, they don't even have to be like joint ventures in terms of, you know, to the level of commissions and affiliates in that respect. You can also just be doing shout outs for people, Shout out for shout out and so on and so forth. And ideally where you can, if you can tap into someone else's email list, so that's where the gold is at, is being able to reach people in that medium. And are you obviously talking about email not being dead the other day, but it's always as soon as the emails go out, that's when the signups always rocket every time.
Isn't it true? Whether
it's sent out by us or a partner or whatever it is, the emails always drive the greatest action. Okay, so you've got to a point now, as we're taking you through things, where you've obviously started to drive signups and you've got a group of people coming through who are ready and excited. What is your next step? Well, next step, you want to give them a space to congregate so that essentially they can get excited and start connecting and the conversation can start happening whilst they wait for you to activate. So this is where we've always used creating a Facebook group, essentially, so that our audience pretty much on that thank you page, once they've gone through the sign up, are directed to come and join the community. And then we give them all sorts of different touch points in there too, and questions to start communicating amongst each other so we can start the conversation. Some things to think about when you set up a challenge Facebook group are definitely making sure that you have like your rules and regulations in there, so that people know not to, like, you know, start posting things or trying to recruit in there. We've definitely had some interesting people come through in the Facebook groups and definitely try and recruit and PM people, which you obviously don't want to have happen. You want to create a safe, nurturing space, not have business owners come in and try and sell to your community. So something else we do is we always have a pin post with all your need to know information about the challenge and any video links, because we always do a housekeeping video a couple of days before or the day before we launch so that people know exactly what to expect. That's definitely talking about stepping everything out again for everybody. We also do a Facebook introduction post where people can jump on and introduce themselves and their business, and it's a really good opportunity for us to learn more about people, because we can actually then go in and have a little bit of a stalk about people and their businesses and what they're doing and so on and so forth. And that, I mean, we've always talked about this, but personalization is so important. So if we can actually learn as much as possible and we can show that to people, then we're able to demonstrate a bit about us, aren't we, really, in the process, where we're kind of like engaging with them on another level. So for us, Facebook as a group is a really great opportunity to add another layer and touch point to our experience and build relationships and really get to know our audience outside of just delivering them content. We really want an experience with our audience, because that's how we run in our program. It's very experiential. It's very personalized.
Yep. Love it. Another just kind of little tip there: when you are creating the Facebook group and you're welcoming people to the Facebook group, definitely take the time to tag them in a post. It will drive the Facebook algorithm. And what that means is that more people will see members of the group, that the group is active, and they'll be that much more inclined to then, you know, go check in, have a look at what's going on, what have you. So it is well worth the time tagging people to welcome them into the community. Okay. We then move into phase two, which is what happens during the challenge. So once you have all the moving parts, you know, in place for the lead up to the challenge, and you've got all those people in the group and you're ready to go, what's the next step? Okay. So this is really the experience and the challenge that you deliver, okay, over the course of however many days you want to make it. As Anna said, it might be 3 days, 4 days. We've even done 5 days, actually, I think, in the past. But you essentially want to think about drip feeding content material over each day of the challenge, okay? And you might space out the days, like Anna said, or have them all back to back. How do you drip feed that content material? We do it via email. Okay. So very simply. And then we also use the Facebook group to announce the release of that content and to open the floor for any questions for dialogue. Because often then what we'll do is we'll hop into the group that night and do a Facebook Live answering any questions that our audience has had. And that's been a great avenue to really display our expertise and to show that, you know what, we really know what we're talking about. We want to add extra layers of information and experience to this challenge for you. And that's been a great segue for us to do it. I think as well, as Anna said, when she talked about the Facebook group, it's really important to emphasize that that group is awesome because it really does enable you to engage with every single person, to answer questions, be super present. And that's something that we're very big on. So whenever it's challenge week for us, we basically close the calendars down to anything but challenge. And we are in that group. Everyone is typing, commenting, answering questions. We're there to showcase our expertise. It's our chance to basically show people and prospects that, you know, we know what we're talking about and we really want to help you. How can we do this? You know, and what it's like to work with us. I think that's one of the most important things. So yes, very important to drive as much engagement as possible in that Facebook group so you can learn the pain points and showcase, you know, you can help these people.
Yeah, I think I really like the fact that we have like the pre-recorded video, which obviously is designed to deliver a certain or specific content and take people on a specific journey. But then we have the kind of the freestyle Q&As or Facebook Lives where it's then very much about interaction and engagement. So you're able to kind of bring a bit more of you that, you know, the you that isn't kind of delivering information, but you as a person into the group. Mm-hmm. So I think the balance like that is quite important and you need to find what works for you. I mean, we started out our challenges doing everything as little mini videos on Facebook Live. So, and they also worked. So it really depends on your audience. Some people might not want fancy videos. Some people might be happy with a Facebook Live. Equally, some people don't come to the Facebook group. Like there's a big portion of people that like we probably what you 60% come to the Facebook group and there's a good 40% that don't. And interestingly enough, there's always a good portion of people that sign up that we've never heard of through the Facebook group or interacted with because they've obviously just gone through the process of actually going through the flow and the content and the community was less important at that point. So yeah, I think this just goes to show that multiple touch points and layers of experience can be very important because different people engage differently.
Yeah.
Okay. So from delivering your challenge and kind of showcasing your expertise and being there in different formats and being able to engage with your audience, obviously you move from the challenge delivery and the content and then having those mini wins to a point when ultimately you need to sell. Mm. I'm just going to say that you do. A lot of people feel a bit icky about selling, but ultimately, you know, if you have a program or something, this is the whole point, people. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you know, you need to be bought into how exciting this whole thing is because you're opening the doors to something. It's going to be a limited time. You've got to create a scarcity and urgency around it, excitement. Like, it's exciting. Like, this is an opportunity for people to come and experience the next level, the next thing, have that next level of transformation and experience. And it's so important to make sure you do that justice with the delivery of doors open. We often do Facebook Lives and there's I've got a whole email sequence, there's landing pages to go to, there's Facebook tiles. We do Facebook video testimonials from students either on our page or in the Facebook group. We'll reach out to people specifically who we've seen in the community that we think are very relevant and a really good fit for what we do. So we tag people in posts. We're not shy. We're here to say, hey, we'll tap you on the shoulder. Like, we love what you do. We think you've really got something. Let's help you take it to that next level. Again, I think that speaks to our personalization and really wanting to give people more. And you know, our students always come to our challenges. It's so funny. Like, they're always like, the more that they can get, they're in doing it basically.
So and, true.
It's just great because then they can come in and share their experiences and it's all very real and authentic and it doesn't really come from us, right? It comes from them. They're,
yes.
And nothing speaks better than coming from that perspective.
Yes, definitely. And I think one thing that's really important here to emphasize is to be on your toes. So that only speaks to the fact that you need to be prepared that things might not go according to plan. So for Anna and I, that is totally what happened in January. We'll be totally candid. Things did not go to plan and we kind of shit our pants a bit. But you know what? We pulled up our pants and we put our runners on and off we went, creating a plan that we knew would work, or testing something at least. And we did, we tested things and it worked, and you know, everything came full circle and we were fine. But my point here is that you need to be reactive and you need to be very prepared to respond to what's happening. Okay. So you might have to change things up. Okay. You need to
I don't think we've ever not changed something though.
Correct.
I think we've always gone in with like a, for example, the cell sequence, which maybe you can talk a bit more about, but we do always prepare a cell sequence, which takes people through a series of steps. Obviously as the countdown goes towards doors closing, but I don't think that we have ever not been reactive, because you have to see kind of like the volume of people interested or signing up or the conversations you're happening, depending on your strategy. And then you always have to kind of make decisions in those moments.
Absolutely. You need to be responsive. And I think that again goes to highlight how important it is to have this Facebook group, because you can see the dialogue that's happening. You can see, you know, objections that are coming up for people, and it provides you with a great platform to then say, okay, look, this is kind of what's happening. I can see the conversation that's happening. You know, this is how we need to respond. And definitely. So what we do further to Anna's point around the sales sequence is we always write an email sequence and have a bit of a plan in place around the open cart period. But that usually changes. It is nice to have a plan though, I find, because yes, it kind of gives you something to draw on, and you might mix it up and take elements from one, you know, day and put it in a different day. But it is important to some degree to have a plan, but also to be prepared to pivot and change the plan. Okay. And on that note, as you change the plan, you want to be prepared to add new touch points. So depending on how things are going in that open cart period, you might need to add another layer, okay? Another touch point post-challenge for your prospects to engage with you. So whether that is something like a clarity call, or you might host a webinar in a specific area or challenge that the audience is, you know, craving more information around, and you can therefore display your expertise on that. Maybe it's a behind-the-scenes tour of how you work with your members in your course dashboard, Facebook Live Q&A, new bonuses, lots of ideas here. But essentially, that's right. Like the main point here that we really want to hit home with you ladies is that you do need to be prepared to change tact, to pivot, okay?
A challenge is so special because you do give people such a valuable experience and so many touch points normally through the Facebook Lives or the video or a cheat sheet. But anything where you can add in new layers, because how many touch points it say it can take someone to sign up or to take an action? Like how many touch points in a funnel, like normally?
Well, it can be just a few, but it can be up to 12. Exactly.
Yes. So up to 12 touch points. So sometimes it could just be that somebody needs that last thing, or, you know, you change something in an email and you're able to send them a little video of like what your in-person get-togethers look like. And, you know, you're not having to do much. It's just going into an email, but it's another touch point, another experience for them or another thing. So yeah, definitely learn to fly by the seat of your pants, basically. So alongside kind of like an email sequence, which is really crucial, along with being able to add new touch points, I mean, there's a whole strategy that goes into sales sequence and email sequence, which we can't really go into right now because that in itself is a whole nother kettle of fish. But alongside that, you'd probably be running some retargeted ads as well. So during open cart period, you would be kind of running a series of like, you know, driving the call to action. So people who did engage in the challenge or signed up, you'd be following them around Facebook and reminding them to take action. And you might be showcasing a new bonus or a testimonial or so on and so forth. But, you know, you just want to stay in top of mind for that like 1 week period normally that you've got open cart, so that people cannot forget you.
Totally. Stalk them around.
Stalk them around. That's right.
Yeah, definitely. And then on your website, you know, just be conscious of changing up your calls to action on your homepage and course page to say that, you know, registrations are now open, or extending your offering, whatever that might be. And on socials, you know, you might think about welcoming your new members personally, tagging them, doing Insta lives or, you know, Insta stories, generate that excitement, pop some testimonials in there. Yeah, lots of opportunities here to really drive the sell across different touch points. So that's kind of the during challenge phase. And then you want to move to phase three. So once the challenge is finished, and you need to think about wrapping things up the right way. And I think this is a really important thing to shine some light on, is that just because your challenge is finished doesn't mean that the work is done. And look, it's not going to be a lot of work, but one key thing that I want you guys to think about here, aside from the obvious logistics of, you know, removing the videos from the Facebook group, deactivating your opt-in page and redirecting them, archiving your group, is really analyzing the data and metrics of the challenge itself. So, you know, what were the email open rates? Which subject lines performed the best? What about the email open times? Did those work? Video watches, how many people watch the videos? So for instance, we use Vimeo and it gives us great stats around how many people watch, click, how long, etc. for. And ultimately, one of the biggest metrics, in addition to many that we track, I must be honest with you, but if there's one that you're going to track, it's your return on investment. So if you've put money behind your challenge, you need to figure out how much money you've made from the challenge and what that return on investment looks like. Okay, so that's a huge one you don't want to miss out on.
Yeah, Flori always like sends me this massive document at the end that we have to like need all this information for, which is such a punish. But anyway, I know it's so important, but it is. It's so good to track, like to have that data, because we've done so many now to see what works and what doesn't. Yes. And, you know, as we've changed audience and price point and so on and so forth. So it's so worth tracking all of that information, because also I think when you get to a stage, as the bigger you get, if you ever want to outsource any of this stuff, you've got fantastic data to share with people. One thing I did want to just say about like wrapping up the challenge, I guess, is just really to be mindful of saying thank you and that you appreciate that not everybody right now, it's the right time. Like some people just, they may not have the money right now. They may, the timing might not be quite right. You know, they might need to save or so on and so forth. And I think it's really just letting people know that you're here whenever the time is right and there'll always be another opportunity, and to thank them for their participation. And obviously we're very grateful for being able to share in the experience. And whether people join you or not, for us, it's definitely about the transformations and the impact we're able to create in and around whatever we do, from, you know, whatever we do in terms of selling and building our business. But also the fact is they're actually really wonderful experiences on top of that, which is why we've done so many of them.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a great point to make, because in addition, as you were saying before, around, you know, so much of this game is touch points. I think a lot of it too with marketing is timing. Timing is everything. And exactly like you said, this might not be the right time for your prospects right now, but it's not to say that the right time might not be around the corner. So to take that one step further, you know, think about then what are you going to do with them, right? Because just because they're out of this funnel doesn't mean that you can re-enter them into a different funnel down the track.
I was just so thinking that, and I was like, oh, that's probably too much information, because we'd be like, what's next?
Oh my god.
We like to give it to you guys. It's good. Lots of gold.
Yeah, there's so much gold. I'm like, this episode is like nearly an hour.
I know.
We've been like going on and on. But you can see that challenges are not small fry. They're a big thing. There's a lot of moving parts. And we trust that this is actually going to be full of gold nuggets for you and lots of things for you to consider. And there's going to be some epic show notes on this. And I think we're going to create a bit of a freebie for you as well to download, which really steps out a bit of a checklist of some of the key things that you want to consider when it comes to creating a challenge like this and thinking about whether it's really the right thing for your business. So, and you know, we'd love to chat to you guys on socials about this once we release it, because yeah, it's definitely been a big part of our journey and we'd love to see it work for some of you. So why don't you leave the parting thought?
Now, this one's by, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Lao Tzu, but basically it is that the way is easy, stay on the path. And the reason why we wanted to share this with you is that whilst it seems very logical, the fact is, and this is very true, is that once you start going down the challenge route, you do have to see it out. You know, you got to back yourself and go all in, because there are a lot of moving parts. It is going to be challenging, no pun intended, but honestly, it is a lot of work. But once you've done it once, you know, the next time is going to get easier and so on and so forth. So just stay the path.
Give it a go. Make it happen. Trust in yourself. I love it. Okay. All right, ladies, that's it from us. And of course, remember, be brave in your business.